Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Michael Burlingame's Abraham Lincoln, A Life, Volume 1 is the first half of an extensive scholarly biography of the 16th President of the United States. It examines Lincoln's life before the presidency, moving from family origins and frontier childhood through his legal career, political development, marriage, anti-slavery commitments, debates with Stephen A. Douglas, and rise to the Republican nomination in 1860. The book belongs to the tradition of documentary historical biography, but its scale and source base make it more expansive than most single-volume lives of Lincoln. Burlingame draws heavily on letters, newspapers, memoirs, legal records, recollections, and previously underused materials to reconstruct both public events and private character. The purpose is not simply to retell familiar milestones, but to explain how Lincoln's habits of thought, emotional life, ambitions, moral convictions, and political skills developed before he entered the White House. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Frontier Origins as a Foundation for Lincoln's Self-Education and Ambition. Volume 1 gives substantial attention to Lincoln's early environment in Kentucky, Indiana, and Illinois because Burlingame treats the frontier not as background scenery, but as a formative pressure. Lincoln's limited formal schooling, physical labor, family tensions, and exposure to oral culture help explain the unusual combination of rustic manner, intellectual hunger, and social adaptability that later defined him. The book does not reduce Lincoln's rise to a simple myth of self-making. Instead, it shows how ambition developed within constraint. His reading, storytelling, memory, and fascination with language became tools for escaping narrow circumstances and entering law and politics. Burlingame also emphasizes that Lincoln's early hardships did not produce bitterness alone. They sharpened his sensitivity to dependence, labor, status, and personal dignity. This matters because the mature politician's moral vocabulary cannot be separated from the young man's experience of poverty, mobility, and self-improvement. The treatment of Lincoln's youth is therefore analytical. Rather than merely anecdotal, it asks how character was built through work, deprivation, observation, and deliberate intellectual discipline. Secondly, the legal career as training in argument, evidence, and political credibility. Burlingame presents Lincoln's years as an Illinois lawyer as central to understanding his public mind. The law gave Lincoln more than income or social standing. It trained him to organize facts, test testimony, simplify complex disputes, and persuade mixed audiences. Volume 1 shows how the circuit court system exposed him to ordinary citizens, local conflicts, commercial change, and the practical realities of a growing state. This experience strengthened his political usefulness because he learned to communicate across class and regional lines without appearing remote or doctrinaire. The biography also connects Lincoln's legal practice to his reputation for fairness and reliability, while avoiding the simplistic idea that he was merely a saintly advocate. He was ambitious, competitive, and professionally strategic, but he generally valued clarity, consistency, and reasoned judgment. That combination helps explain why his later speeches could be both morally serious and legally careful. Burlingame's attention to the law gives readers a concrete mechanism for Lincoln's development. The courtroom refined the habits that made him effective in legislative debate, party organization, and national controversy. Thirdly, political maturation from Whig economics to Republican anti-slavery leadership. A major theme of Volume 1 is Lincoln's gradual movement from state-level Whig politician to national Republican figure. Burlingame situates Lincoln within the political culture of internal improvements, banking, tariffs, and economic modernization, showing that his early politics were not defined only by slavery. Lincoln admired the Whig vision of opportunity through infrastructure, markets, education, and social mobility. The collapse of the old party system and the Kansas-Nebraska Act forced slavery into the center of his public life. Burlingame traces how Lincoln's opposition to slavery's expansion combined moral revulsion with constitutional caution. He did not initially advocate immediate abolition everywhere, but he rejected the idea that slavery could be treated as morally neutral. This distinction is crucial to the book's interpretation of his rise. Lincoln became powerful because he could translate anti-slavery conviction into arguments that appealed to law, founding principles, free labor ideology, and northern political realities. Volume 1, therefore, portrays his Republican leadership as the result of accumulated discipline rather than sudden conversion. Fourthly, private melancholy, marriage, and emotional complexity behind the public figure, Burlingame is especially interested in Lincoln's inner life, and Volume 1 devotes attention to mood, grief, family relationships, courtship, marriage, and emotional strain. The portrait is neither sentimental nor purely clinical. Lincoln appears as a man capable of warmth, humor, loyalty, and tenderness, but also as someone marked by melancholy, insecurity, and periods of severe distress. His relationship with Mary Todd Lincoln receives attention as part of his personal and social formation. including the advantages and tensions that came with marriage, into a politically connected and socially ambitious family. Burlingame's broader point is that Lincoln's public composure should not be mistaken for emotional simplicity. Humor, storytelling, and sociability often functioned as ways to manage pain, deflect conflict, and maintain connection with others. This dimension matters because it complicates the heroic image without dismissing Lincoln's greatness. The book suggests that his empathy, patience, and capacity to endure criticism were linked to personal suffering and self-command. Emotional complexity becomes part of leadership formation, not a distraction from it. Lastly, documentary depth and the reconstruction of Lincoln before national power. The distinguishing feature of Burlingame's biography is its scale of documentation. Volume 1 uses a wide range of primary materials, including correspondence, reminiscences, newspapers, political records, legal documents, and accounts from people who knew Lincoln. This creates a dense reconstruction of the pre-presidential years, often giving space to local contexts and lesser-known episodes that shorter biographies compress. The benefit is precision readers see Lincoln's development through cumulative evidence rather than through a few famous scenes. The limitation is also clear. The level of detail can slow the narrative for readers seeking a concise introduction, yet this density serves a scholarly purpose. Burlingame is trying to recover Lincoln before retrospective legend hardened around him. By examining competing memories, local politics, personal networks, and documentary traces, the book shows how difficult historical biography can be when a subject is both deeply documented and heavily mythologized. Volume 1 stands out because it treats Lincoln's pre-presidential life as worthy of the same evidentiary seriousness often reserved for the Civil War presidency. In conclusion, Abraham Lincoln: A Life. Volume 1 is best suited for serious readers, students, historians, and anyone who wants a detailed account of Lincoln before the presidency rather than a brief overview of familiar events. Its intellectual benefit lies in showing how Lincoln's character and political method developed over time through frontier hardship, self-education, legal practice, party politics, moral conflict over slavery, emotional struggle, and disciplined public argument. Readers interested in leadership will find value not in simple lessons, but in the book's demonstration that judgment, empathy, restraint, and persuasive power were built gradually through experience. Compared with many Lincoln biographies, Burlingame's work stands out for its documentary breadth and its willingness to linger over formative detail. It is less streamlined than single-volume biographies by writers who emphasize narrative economy, but it offers a fuller evidentiary foundation for understanding Lincoln's rise. The book is especially useful for readers who already know the broad outline of Lincoln's life and want to examine the texture beneath it. Its main demand is patience. Its reward is a more complex view of Lincoln as lawyer, politician, husband, thinker, an ambitious self-made man before national crisis transformed him into a presidential figure. If you would like to support Michael Burlingame, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.